Let me invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and we'll pick up in verse 1. Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 1.
Gospel of John 9, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, that we can call upon you, that as we gather together as your church, that you're in our midst. And so, Lord, we ask your blessings on your word tonight. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray and ask you, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in truth and spirit, and that you would guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is, "Who Did Sin?" Simple title, "Who Did Sin?" And what we're going to focus on tonight, or the truth that we want to look at this evening, is guarding against an intermittent spiritual blindness. Intermittent, you know, infrequent, at bursts and things of that nature, on again, off again. Spiritual blindness, and we want to be perceptive, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but Peter experienced that intermittent spiritual blindness. "Who do men say that I am?" And the Lord gave him the answer, and then at the next breath, he's telling the Lord he shouldn't go to the cross, and that was not the will of God. We face that, I think, to a certain degree. So how is it that we can be kept from spiritual blindness? First, I think we need to realize that God does not want us to have this intermittent relationship of spiritual blindness with Him. He wants us to be always walking in the truth. So how is it that we might come to that? Well, I think, first of all, don't guess. Don't guess. You know, that's our human nature. It's mine anyway. It is mine. And I think my family got to the point to where they didn't appreciate this, or they looked at me. We would watch a movie, and I don't know why, but I could just tell what they were going to say before they said it. And I would say it. And my kids would look at me like, "How did you know that?" Because they knew we'd never seen it before. "And how did you know that?" I don't know. But I found it quite comical. Quite comical, really. And sometimes you can figure something out and you're just guessing. It's all you're doing. And I would tell them, "I have no clue. I had no clue. That just seemed like that what they were going to say," right? And sometimes if we're not careful, we can do that with the Lord. And God doesn't want us to guess. God wants us to know. So that might be okay with a movie or something, you know, but not with the Lord and not with the things of God. So don't guess. Tread slowly. And ask God for direction. God intervenes on our behalf, and He's there for us all the time if we will remember to call on Him all the time. And that will keep us from this intermittent spiritual blindness. And so I want to look at a couple of things very quickly. I'm going to scan chapter 9. It is a little bit of a lengthy chapter. It's not terribly long, but there's a little bit of length to it. But I want to look at a couple of things here that the disciples faced here, and that was their presumption, first of all. Then I want you to see God's answer, and then I want you to see the blind man's position, which was humility, and then the blind man was given a testimony, and that's impressive. We'll see the Pharisees' error and the parents' fear. These are things that can keep us from understanding or walking in God's truth. So very quickly, I want you to see the disciples' presumption. By the way, we'll also notice the Pharisees also. They said, "You were born in sin." They thought they were accusing him. They were completely wrong. They were the ones that were rejecting the Son of God, and they were faulting this man. And this man was in the right because God brought him to that place. God wants to bring you and I there as well. Now, this is presumption on the part of the disciples, but they're in a teaching mode, and this is good. And in verse 1 it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." This was a known thing. I mean, the Pharisees even knew it. The whole town knew it because they said, "Hey, is this a man that was sitting there?" Okay, so this was a known thing. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So that was their conclusion. It was either this man was blind because of his sin or his parents' sin. And then the Lord gives his answer here in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The works of God. So just because we see something, may we not draw a conclusion without God's direction. Or it will be the wrong conclusion. We have to be so careful as we walk that we're seeking God for his wisdom and direction. And he'll give it. And if it's no answer, then make no conclusion. It's just as simple as that. And realize this. Hey, listen, in your own heart, you might say, well, I won't verbally make a conclusion, but how can I stop my mind from making a mental conclusion? Well, just remind yourself, you don't know. You can make that conclusion, but finish it with, that could be completely wrong. I could be completely wrong in that. So he says, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Isn't that amazing? This man was in darkness. He's getting ready to be brought into the light. By the way, listen, you and I also were born spiritually in darkness, spiritually blind. And God wants us to, what God wants to, and he's the only one that can bring us into the light. And it begins at salvation, but that doesn't mean that you can't walk in darkness or miss the light that God wants us to walk in. So as we consider this, we find this blind man's position, and it's one of humility because he's helpless. And that's a good place to be. Listen, without the help of God, we are helpless. We'll get it wrong. Don't answer this one, but maybe just in your own mind. Have you ever thought you were so right and found out to be so wrong? And it's like, oh, why did I do or think that, right? Whatever the case might be. And so God wants us to walk humbly with him. But notice this man's position here. Verse 6 here, he says, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed. So here they're in front of this guy. They're talking. Sometimes I wonder, now listen, this is going to be conjecture on my part. Are they having this conversation right in front of this man? He's not deaf. He just can't see. Because the Lord's right there. And so they're having this conversation. And listen, the man could have said, you know, I can hear. I may not be able to see, but I can hear your conversation, what you're saying. But anyway, so they're right there in front. And so the Lord takes the spittle. He makes clay out of it. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, this is the faith part, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now listen, no doubt he had heard about who the Lord was, and there he is right in front of him, and he's doing this for him, and he's allowing the Lord to do this for him. And he says to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Isn't that amazing? So here's this position really of humility, and he was rewarded for it. Every time you and I allow ourselves to be in the position of humility, not knowing, not drawing conjecture, not judging quickly, but waiting and giving other people the benefit of the doubt, that I may have a misunderstanding, that I may have misconceived or misunderstood what was happening, instead of drawing a conclusion, we put ourselves in a place where the Lord can open up our eyes. And so look at this testimony that the blind man received here from the Lord, by the way. The neighbors therefore, verse 8, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? So now listen to this. This man is unemployed. He genuinely needs work or a means of sustenance. So he's no doubt an older individual. I don't know how old, maybe a young man, but he's not a teenager, I don't think. And so here he is, and he's asking for alms, and people are giving to him, and so he's begging. And some said, verse 9, this is he. Others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. You got to like that. I am. So here. Now listen, when the Lord was there and the disciples were there, he didn't say a word. Now he can see, and he's watching them have this conversation. He says, let me just answer the question. It's me. It's me. And so that's a testimony that God had given to him. Now I want to drop down and look at the Pharisees' error for the sake of time. Drop down to verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he had healed him on the Sabbath. And that's in verse 14. But I want you to see what's going on. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Now question. Are they right? Or did they get it wrong? Let me ask you, can you pick up the spirit of their attitude? They are adamantly right, so right. And they're really so wrong, aren't they? May we guard against that. May we take this as an example. We look at that, we say, yes, those Pharisees, that religious group, we're the religious group today. And was Israel once walking in the truth and teaching the truth and preaching the truth? Were they once doing that? Some time had eroded, and they veered from the truth, right? So since the resurrection, has some time eroded? Since the founding of our nations, has some time eroded? Is it possible that we have also allowed some things to go awry, allow some things to drift in our relationship with the Lord? And so we need to be careful that we don't pick up where the Pharisees are right here. And so here they are, and they says, this man, they can't be. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. Verse 16 in the middle says, others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Isn't that a good question? They're saying, I think you guys have this wrong. And there was a division among them. And then I want you to see, so the Pharisees made this error, but it was good that there was a distinction there. How can this be, if this man is doing these things? We need to look to the Word of God and realize what the Word of God says to the child of God. And may we be reminded of how God wants us to walk and what He's done for us that enables us to be the light that He's called us to be. Because the world is in darkness. Is that true today? The world, our society, is in darkness. Are they leaning on the Lord's wisdom or on the wisdom of man today? They are so far from the truth that they're trying to solve all their own problems. And really what they're doing is they're making more problems. So where will the light come from? Look in the mirror. By the grace of God in your life and mine. And so, Lord, where's your light today, oh God? I'm a saved child of God. I thank the Lord for that. But where's the work of the Lord being done? Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does God still want His children to glorify Him? So here's the question. I don't really know. I don't know that I have the answer for you. What's the problem? Where's the problem? God fixed the problem, and there was a problem here in this day and age also. And then the Pharisees were in error, but then the parents, for fear, were walking in intermittent spiritual darkness as well. They did not want to cause themselves to lose their status in the temple or in the synagogue. So look with me in verse 20. They talked to the parents. They didn't want to believe until they caught the parents. So they got the parents, and they asked them, is this your son? In verse 19, verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, and he shall speak for himself. Now, wait a minute, there's some truth here that we're missing that's not being spoken about. The Holy Spirit's going to fill us in. Ready? Verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, because of that reason, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. They weren't being honest. They feared the Pharisees, they feared man more than they did God. And that will cause us also to not understand the truth. And then I want you to see the blind man's truth. What was the blind man's truth? It needs to be our truth. Ready? The blind man's truth was God. Now watch this. Look at verse 30. And I'm going to encourage you to go back here because I'm skipping a lot for the sake of time, but I do want you to see this. In fact, let's back up verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Now listen, he's going to use his words and help him and to help them understand this. The man answered, this is the man that received his sight. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. You guys have done condemned this man, and you don't even know where he's from. That's putting your foot in your mouth, right? And that's exactly what they did. Now, I want you to watch, because it's the same tactic used today, is that we try to disqualify or demonize the messenger who's bringing forth truth and to excuse ourselves. So he says this. He just made a statement. Well, here's a marvelous thing. He said, here you are condemning this man. He opened my eyes, and you don't even know where he's from. Might be a good idea before you pass judgment to find out where he's come from. So, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. These are truthful statements. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened his eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. All of that was true. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, as they weren't. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They discredited and disqualified him, but here's the truth. He was telling the truth. He did not utter one error. Everything was true. It was pride on the behalf of the Pharisees that kept them from hearing the truth. It will be pride that will keep you and I from hearing the truth as well. So, what was this blind man's source of truth? It was the Lord. Now, I want you to see this last thought, and I want you to know I believe God is still in the business of doing this today. God pursued and purposed to give this man spiritual revelations. Listen. God is still pursuing his people for the purpose of revealing spiritual truth to you and me. He's still doing that. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Aren't you glad? May I tell you something? To be out of man's business might put you in God's business. Here they are cast out of the religious ranks that he might be in a place to receive a spiritual revelation from the Lord. So Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And by the way, he was standing on the truth and he was sharing the truth. And when he had found him, so who's looking for who? Jesus is, right? So here's the Lord pursuing this man that was blessed of him. Do you think God pursues you and I? Let me encourage you to read Psalm 40, and you'll find that the thoughts of God toward you and I are innumerable. Can't number them. So he found him, and he said unto him, verse 35, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now, I want you to see something here. Look at his answer. It's not been solidified, but he's already walking in this truth. But it needs to be confirmed. So he says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said unto him, look at the answer. Who is he, sir? No. Who is he, Lord? He's already calling him Lord. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I think the Spirit of God was directing this man, don't you? I think he suspected already who he was. And Jesus, here's a confirmation. Listen, don't you love it when something's taking place in your life and you're suspecting it's God at work? And then God does something that confirms it and you say, yes, it was the Lord working. And Jesus said unto him, verse 37, thou hast both seen him. Now remember, he was the blind man that can now see. And it is he that talketh with thee. What's the purpose of the revelation? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he what? Worshipped him. God wants to bring us to the place of worship. More than just on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. He wants to bring us to the place of worship every day. Because that's where the light is shined. That's where the testimony is given. Some things to think about. I'm going to challenge you to go back and read through this chapter again. Do you think this man got the better deal than the Pharisees got? Do you think this man got the better deal than his parents got? Do you think this man had something to share with his parents? Why? Because God gave it to him. Do you know, listen, that's a revelation. Do you know that God wants to give us something to share? Listen, salvation is the beginning point. Could Peter, James, and John tell you stories, give you testimonies of all that God has done in their lives? God wants to give you and I a testimony of all the things that he has done, that he is doing, and that we can anticipate he will do. Because the best for the child of God, the best revelation for the child of God is yet to come when we see our Savior face to face, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray for your guidance, your wisdom and understanding. And Lord, that you might be glorified and our lives empowered by your grace to experience you and to be the witness you've called us to be. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.